Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
How can we know for sure the stock market is in a bubble? I talk about it a lot, and maybe I'm wrong. But let's just look at some indicators that might make you think I'm correct. NVIDIA, which is holding the whole stock market together, is up 155% year-to-date alone after its massive run-up in 2023. Its market cap is well over $3 trillion. The company has added the equivalent of the entire company of Amazon in just the past 6 months. That's how far-fetched this company has become. It is responsible for over half the S&P 500's entire gain this year. The equal weight S&P 500 is up only 4%. NVIDIA added the equivalent of Berkshire Hathaway's valuation in 6 weeks. Berkshire Hathaway is the empire legendary investor Warren Buffett spent his entire life building. And in a month and a half, that is what NVIDIA jumped in value. NVIDIA is now worth 10% of U.S. GDP. And that means when the big three, Apple, Microsoft, and NVIDIA, are added together, they are worth more than one-third of our nation's entire economic output. All previous stock market bubbles share the following in common: a narrow stock market rally that focuses on a small group of stocks in a small sector of the economy that Wall Street is working overtime on promoting. AI fits this profile perfectly. Again, AI is going to be a productivity boom. Nevertheless, NVIDIA is a bubble. It has all the components of a bubble. It's overowned, it's overpriced, it's oversupplied, and it's predicated on spurious and ephemeral demand, which will collapse in an economic downturn ahead. That is when we'll buy it. One of the major issues with the economy is the bubble in the real estate market, which is a major drag on GDP growth. The average annual cost of owning and maintaining a single-family home is $18,118 a year. That is up 26% since 2020, according to a new study by Bankrate. The study analyzed the average costs beyond a mortgage. Those are property taxes, insurance, and maintenance costs. I talk about this a lot. These onerous increases come on top of the near 50% increase in home prices over the same time period. This is why the real estate transaction market remains frozen, and you simply cannot have a strong economy while the real estate market remains dysfunctional. If you want to know the real reason why Fed Chair Powell is talking about rate cuts, despite the fact that the middle class has already been decimated and inflation remains far above the Fed's 2% inflation target, you need to look no further than the pressure in the banking system and in private equity. The amount of distressed debt owned by portfolio companies of the world's 50 biggest private equity firms has climbed 18% since mid-March to $42.7 billion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Also, the investment credit rating agency Moody's downgraded the entire regional banking sector, 130 regional banks, due to their high exposure to commercial real estate. Their analyst, Anna Arzov, warns of, quote, severe financial instability, unquote. Funding costs are much higher and their assets are falling in value. Smaller regional banks, those that are worth $10 billion or less, have 34% of their assets in commercial real estate. These assets yield less and are under pressure from rising rates and rising vacancy rates. Unfortunately for those who seek the truth about the U.S. economy, the non-farm payroll report has become a complete farce. Despite a complete deluge of labor market data that clearly shows hiring is slowing down significantly, such as the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, also known as JOLTS, which is at a three-year low. negative labor market index in the ISM services sector report, which is the largest part of the economy. Rising initial jobless claims and a parade of public companies announcing layoffs and hiring freezes. The Bureau of Labor Statistics still came up with a headline number of 277,000 net new jobs hired in May. This is despite the fact that the unemployment rate ticked up to 4%, the labor force shrank by 250,000 people, and the household survey showed an actual decline of 408,000 jobs in the same month. Let me repeat that, a decline of 408,000 jobs. The difference between what actual people say is their employment status, which is derived from the household survey, as opposed to the establishment survey, was a whopping 680,000 jobs. The household survey also showed that the number of full-time employees shrunk by 625,000, while the number of part-time workers increased by 286,000. In fact, in the past 12 months, the non-farm payroll report number is up 2.75 million. However, the number of full-time employees is down 1.16 million. Talk about a diametrically opposed set of data. It is imperative to note that the household survey always leads the trend in the establishment survey. So my bet is on a weakening economy, because that is where the majority of the economic data point to. But nevertheless, the Fed is going to be held to the headline number from the BLS because they are labor market economists and Phillips curve adherents who believe inflation comes from too many people working. Hence, the Fed's hands are tied when it comes to rate cuts for at least the next few months. And this report slams the door shut on both June and July for rate cuts and delays the first possible rate cut until at least September. Today, we had the FOMC meeting and decision for June. Powell is desperate to start cutting rates, but cannot do so in any significant manner given the strength in the headline non-farm payroll figure and sticky inflation that remains at 3.3% year over year in May, which is still well above its 2% asinine target. For me, this means the Fed will be cutting rates too little, too late to prevent a sharp slowdown in the economy. By the way, that is a good thing in the long run, because recessions and deflations reset asset prices and debt levels to economically viable conditions. I predict at least two cuts this year, but Powell and the Federal Open Market Committee now predict there will be just one cut in 2024. There is nothing new here. The Fed always acts ex post to the start of a recession and an economic contraction because the headline figure from the non-farm pay report is a lagging economic indicator. Why this is critical to understand is because Powell will not be proactively reducing rates ahead of the recession, which, as I mentioned, is a wonderful thing. We need lower prices. We do not need them to go up more slowly and still north of 2%. We need prices to fall. But the opportunity here is to increase positions in gold and bonds while these prices are relatively low, as compared to what will happen, what will occur when the Fed is forced into a panic rate cutting cycle like they always are. Now, the gold price took a hit recently when it was reported that China did not increase its gold reserves at all in the month of May. And then, of course, we also had the BS from the BLS about the net number of new jobs so above expectations. Now, in April, the People's Bank of China, their Chinese central bank, bought 60,000 troy ounces of gold. And that was down from 160,000 ounces in March and 390,000 ounces in February. So they are paring back significantly on their gold purchases. However, the idea that China is done buying gold is most likely incorrect. China still has a massive trade surplus with the United States. And the idea it would recycle those reserves into treasuries and eschew gold for a very long time is insane. I look for China to just be taking a pause on gold buying that will end soon, and for investors to supplant that pause as they pile into gold as the U.S. economic headline labor market data begins to weaken. And I expect that to happen very, very soon. We remain net long with no equity shorts in the portfolio. Patiently. We continue to wait patiently for financial conditions to tighten and credit spreads to widen in my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model before moving towards sector one, which is deflation recession in the portfolio. Until then, it's slow and steady as she goes as we try to continue to profit from bull markets in the right sectors and style factors and asset classes with a vigilant eye to protect and profit from the inevitable grand reconciliation of asset prices that still must lie ahead.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.